I want to encourage you today with regard to Christ's body, the church. And we have a title that we're going to talk on today. We're calling this His Body Being Restored. His Body Being Restored. One of the things Christians have to learn that is very clear in the scripture, that Christ does nothing outside His body, the church. And we see very clearly in the book of Revelation that closes the Bible, that Christ stands among the seven churches, the lampstands. And He does nothing outside His body. There are many today who want to do their own thing. They believe that they can walk this walk without being in the body of Christ or baptized into the body. It's not needed, and so on. It is needed. Else it would not be in the Word of God, and particularly in the book of Ephesians. And so we need to remind ourselves why it is we come regular. We come to hear the word. We come to fellowship, to meet up, to break bread, to share communion, to have fellowship with one another. All of this is for a purpose. And we're calling this teaching His Body Being Restored, because we are in the times of restoration. Through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit is now restoring and building and working upon a remnant around the world who will submit, who see Christ's body, who has a vision of the bride that's making herself ready, who discerns the times that we live in, who is hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. So let us open this up and look and see what the scriptures have to say on this, because we are at present being restored under Christ's headship. That is what we're ultimately being restored to. And God uses man. He uses gifts in which to do this. And turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10. Ephesians 4 and verses 9 and 10. And here it speaks about God has ascended into heaven, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, He has sent gifts to man. Gifts in which to edify, to build His body. That is what they're for. The Holy Spirit has not left us on our own, but He has come back in which to build through each of us. We are part of God's building, set in the body to function. And as we see in verses 9 and 10, now this He ascended, what does it mean but that He also first ascended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And then it says on that, and He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and so it goes on, for the equipping, building of the church. So He's ascended to heaven that He might fill all things. He now directs His church from heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. That is where He is now. And that is where He guides us, He leads us, He brings us together under Him. Not under the control of man, a pope, but under Christ. And in order to do that, He has to separate us from the harlot, the counterfeit, which some of us he's done over the years. If we turn also to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23, he says here in Ephesians 1 verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So he says that he fills all things. He fills the church. We see in verse 22, and he put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church. That is his calling, his ministry, directed from heaven, his body, which it says in verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And that's why we receive of his fullness, if we are in his body. That is why we don't forsake the assembling of the saints unto him, as the word of God tells us. You see, over the centuries, the divine order has been replaced by man, or by a pope, and they replace the fivefold ministry with religious training colleges and professional clergy. But you see, the Bible tells us there is no distinction between laity and clergy. We are all a royal priesthood. This is what has been replaced by man, by the harlot. You see, Christ intended to govern his body, his church, through the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? He is the executor on earth. Let's just remind ourselves again what Christ said in John 16. John 16. And verses 7 to 15. John 16, verses 7 to 15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it unto you. So Christ's inheritance that was given to him through triumphing through the cross, dealing with death, now resurrected, seated in heaven, he now, with what he has been blessed and given, he shares this with his church, his body. And he does this through the Holy Spirit, who is a type of an executor, one who bears witness to what is being given. Let's just remind ourselves that Christ sent his Spirit. His Holy Spirit is sovereign. It is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit that we receive through the baptism. For example, in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." And John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." There it is. He's working through the Holy Spirit as a type of executor, revealing the promises of God, revealing what is there for us to believe, to stand upon. And then we see in Acts 13, verses 1 to 2, Acts 13, verses 1 to 2, we're talking about Christ's headship restored in these last days, being restored again to the true body of Christ. Acts 13, verses 1 and 2. "Now the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius and Cyrene, Menean, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them.'" And they go into prayer and fasting, and they wait to be set apart for the office, for the calling. We see the Holy Spirit at work again in Acts 16. Acts 16, verses 6 to 10. 6 to 10 of Acts 16. "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night," and so it goes on. So we see very clearly the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. And Paul receives this vision in verse 9, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." So see how the Holy Spirit is intervening as he is preaching the kingdom of God. These manifestations that we read here are being restored again. The Holy Spirit is beginning to speak. He leads ministers to various places, to various countries, by the Spirit, in which to sow seed. And this is why you see the deeper life in the Spirit as we share it, as it's being taught, as we pray for this word to go to the four corners of the earth. This is sowing seed, that the Spirit will water it for the purpose to build Christ's body, to bring a remnant back under the headship of Christ. We may not be seeing very much. It may appear as though very little seems to be happening, but God sows that seed. And in time, You begin then to see and hear, and things come back, messages come back, how the seed that's been sown, God has got a remnant who've been restored, brought under the headship of Christ. Never limit what God does through the teaching and preaching of the word, as he sets the fivefold ministry in which to do that in the church. We see other illustrations of service and how the body functions. For example, in 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. And then it goes on about speaking in tongues and how tongues should be regulated by the Spirit. And if a tongue comes out, then it should be interpreted. That is to build the body up. That is the gifts. That is God's people in the body, edifying the body. That is important for edification. All of this helps us as the bride makes herself ready. We also see in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. Colossians 1, verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. So we also see, although the apostle is showing that through his labor, through his sufferings, he's filling up that which is lacking in the body. So we see we have a place in which we fill up that which could be lacking in the body. And that can be a number of things. It could be your prayers and intercessions. Whatever you feel God calls you to do, you are filling up that which could be lacking, in order to minister, to build up your brothers and sisters in the faith. It's all part of the body being restored. It's not just left to the fivefold ministry, but it's also the body itself and the gifts that God has given to the body. Those gifts are not just given to you, they are a gift to the body. Whatever your ministry, your calling, whatever you do, whether you're interceding and praying, we ask often for prayers. That is a gift for the body, to build it up, which is lacking. That's why we pray one for another, so that we are filled with God's blessing, his Spirit, that could be lacking, you see. Never limit what God can and will do through you. We still too often look at this in the carnal, in the flesh. And we mustn't. We worship God in spirit and in truth. These are spiritual works and principles that God works through us. That's why we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, who enables us to be spiritual people, to start fulfilling Romans 8, walking in the Spirit. There are few that seem to understand what it means to walk in the Spirit. There's still many, many who profess Christ. They're still very carnal, sensual. They're still affected by things of the flesh. And that's why there are so many sins in the house of God. And the thing that deals with that is the cross. That's what it's for, to make us spiritual and to start to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is what it's for, you see. And that's why, you see, he develops his body. He builds his body. He's building his body through us for ministry, to teach, to build her, to protect her, to have fellowship, unity, love in Christ and with each other. That's what he's building, you see. And that's why God will deal with sin. This is why he will deal with resentment or unforgiveness if we harbour that between one another. He will not have that, because that hinders the building of the body, you see. Because the whole body must function. We have experienced over the years where people have come into the church or into the meeting with unforgiveness, or they're heavy. They're hindering the Holy Spirit. You can feel it. You're aware of it. Something's working through them to stop the Holy Spirit from ministering. We should never do that. And if we are guilty of that, then it's best to get out and get your heart right before God, because you're a hindrance to your brother, your sister, who's come to worship, to praise God, who's come with an expectant faith and heart. That's why I keep saying it is important to be prayed up before we come together. Yes, even online. So that we allow the Holy Spirit to function, to move, because it's to your advantage. This is where you could receive your healing, your deliverance, your answer to things in the Word that you're not fully maybe understanding, or whatever it would be. This is why the enemy wants to disrupt true fellowship and unity and oneness. He's all the while trying to disrupt that, because he then knows he hinders the Holy Spirit from ministering. He's not stupid. I wish we were more alert at how the enemy tries to work and stop us. Because Christ will not return until his body is perfected. She's in unity and oneness. We know this from Scripture clearly. For example, let's go back to Ephesians. Of course, Ephesians is much about Christ's body. If you want to really understand the church, read the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Verse 26 and 27 of Ephesians 5, that he might sanctify, cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. There you are. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't get it wrong. I keep my mind out of all of this, because if I try and analyze and understand some of this, a lot of it doesn't always make any sense. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And there is a remnant God is restoring. Because we know this, the rapture is not far away. And if there is a rapture, then there has to be a body, saints, a bride who makes herself ready. What does it tell us in the book of Revelation? Revelation 19 and verse 7. Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. So there we are. Restoration of the church and restoration of Israel. And the bride makes herself ready. You see, God is restoring each of us in his church. We are his family. He's restoring relationships. He's restoring marriages, the husband and wife. He's restoring divine order with the children. He's restoring in the church. He's restoring our ministry, our witness. He's restoring gifts. You see, Christ's body must be built through us for dominion, because that's what this is about. The Holy Spirit has come to build his church upon the rock of Jesus Christ, to restore her back to her dominion and authority. That's why I said the Holy Spirit's like an executor witnessing to what is in the will, presenting to us what Christ is sharing with us that the Father has given him. And all of this he reveals to us through his word. You see, he's restoring what Adam forfeited. And we're now being restored through the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ, the forerunner, who has gone before. This is why I stress so much that you are one with him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one restoring all of this through us, as we yield to the Spirit and not get in the way. We are part of his restoration plan. Let's turn to Colossians as we bring this to a close. Colossians chapter 1, 9 to 23. Let's read all of this. Colossians 1, 9 to 23. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. We can put our name there, FGA, since we've heard the word, the deeper life. God is now bringing forth the fruit through us. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's what we should be praying one for another. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Listen to how you can turn that into prayers for one another. giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So we're partakers, we're inheritors. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, his love, to whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created through him and for him. Listen to the power and authority that he has. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that all things he may have the preeminence. Listen to the read the, what it just says there. The sovereignty of Almighty God in Jesus Christ, who has become head over his body. No wonder he restores us back under his headship. For it pleased the Father that in him the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth, things in heaven, being made peace through the blood of the cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Notice it says in the mind. That's why your mind is being renewed by the word of God. In the body of his flesh through his death, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and are not moved away from the hope. There we are. He that endures to the end shall be saved. So moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. There we are. If that doesn't speak of God restoring in these last days, I don't know what does. Never limit what God is doing. Yes, it may look all peculiar. Yes, you might not be able to get your mind round it. It just seems it's just a handful. Many times in those early days when the apostle was writing these things, these epistles, sometimes it was to a handful. Because most don't believe. And that is the tragedy. And finally, if we've really understood this, then we're going to understand what it means to fulfill Romans 8. And here it is, Romans 8, 18 to 30. Romans chapter 8, 18 to 30. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This is a revelation that is going to be revealed, this restoration, this work that God's doing through us, preparing us as these wise virgins. We are being prepared for the future. A lot of your ministry will be in the future, brothers and sisters. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the unveiling of the sons of God. This world is groaning under sin. Rebellion is waiting for the unveiling of the sons of God, the overcomers. For what? For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. And it does and continues. It's waiting for release, to bring back order, to bring back a remnant that is left after Armageddon, who will be restored again in the millennium, to come back and worship God, to learn. Also, Israel being restored and brought back from her rebellion and unbelief. Here it is. This is what's being prepared now. The restoration of the body of Christ is for future ministry, to rule and reign with Christ. That is what he's preparing us for. This is why it looks at times peculiar and it seems little is happening. But we are waiting for our adoption. We're waiting for the birth of the man-child to be birthed, to be born. And those birth pangs are there. And as the birth pangs increase, so does the contraction, that pushing, that birthing through. And it seems like that now. It seems there is a time when we feel exhausted, we feel we cannot go on, and yet there is a power, something that is pushing us, encouraging us to keep going. When we feel that there's nothing left, take comfort in this, brothers and sisters, for flesh and blood doth not reveal this to you. This comes by the Spirit. You are called for this from the foundation of the world. Don't let anybody, don't let any demon take this away from you. God has not made a mistake. And God will be faithful, because he loves his church. He loves his body. He gave his life for the church, to redeem her, to bring a remnant back under himself, to protect, to look after, to lead and guide, and to share all that the Father has given him. That's what the marriage is about. As the bride makes herself ready to marry the bridegroom, what does the bridegroom do? He shares everything with his wife. That is what marriage is about. You share everything, including yourself, your flesh, your body. There's the example of Christ's body. And it comes from the man. The brother must love his wife, the same as the wife loves the husband. The apostle addressed that first in a divine order. Christ, man, the woman. And God will not bless until that divine order is in operation. And it's not as hard as it seems. Because we see this in the church. And we're being prepared, ready, so that he's going to share with us all that his Father has given him, because we're one with him. And that's why I say you can start to enter into your inheritance now in this life, as the bride makes herself ready. He has to equip us. He has to start sharing now with us to get us to prepare. But we're only getting it in part until we finally are with him. And how do we know when we're with him? You read in Revelation 4 and 5. There you see, up in heaven, before his throne, it's all taking place there. Praise God, molded into the vision. As we spoke on Sunday, Without a vision, the people perish. They just wander off. The deeper life that we received over the years also presented the vision of the bride making herself ready. Praise God. Well, bless you all. Thank you. I trust you've been blessed. It's just reminded you of things that we have been preaching over the years. God's not going to let it go. It's not going to change. He's going to continue to bring it up because he loves us. He doesn't change his plans. What he's given us is from the Father himself, and he's going to make sure it's all fulfilled through his body that he's baptized us into.